unity is strength and assured success. All for one and one for all. Unity means solidarity. Yeah. United we stand. Divided we fall. Unity, please don't desert me. You're the sweetest honey from the honeybee. Unity, unity, please don't desert me. We need your sweetness like the comb of the honeybee. So please hear my plea.
Sorry about the delay. Welcome to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Join us in the wee chat room there if you'd like to connect with other people. But if you'd just like to listen in, go to AmericanFreedomRadio.com, I suppose. They've got a much better website than I do. I have a very special guest today, and his name is Darren DOG. And I presume there's nothing DOG about him, but we'll bring him on and find out.
Good evening, Vinny. Thank you for pronouncing my name properly there. That was excellent. Cheers.
Yeah. Pronunciation is a big key for me, and often I mispronounce people's names, and, man, it guts me ever so much.
Yeah, and probably upsets them sometimes. I'm not that bothered.
You know what? I think that they're probably used to it by now.
I certainly am, so you did well. That's fine.
Indeed. Now, give us a bit of a breakdown about yourself, because to be honest, Darren, I've never heard of you, and I have no idea what it is that you do. And a lot of my listeners are probably on the same boat with me on that one. And this show, we basically give a platform to people who are around the world trying to fight for freedom, love, justice, enlightenment of some description. And preferably, give them a chance to plug their own websites. So, fire away.
Yeah, man, thanks for that. That's excellent. Freedom and love, absolutely, all the way. Yeah, what do? I do a whole bunch of stuff, but I want to talk to you about something quite specific tonight, you and your listeners, something that I think they might be quite interested in relation to the whole problems people are having with the New World Order and folk like that. And it's how to make their interactions with it a whole lot simpler and find a bit of hope. Now, normally my events are a bit dry and sound a bit boring. They're about things like perception and gender and language, and it's very much about how we're not aware of how much power and awareness is locked in them because we just take them for granted every day. And that was really what all my language work that I've been in for the last few years is what got me into the whole sovereign free man movement. Are you familiar with that at all, Vinny?
Extremely familiar with that. And we also have a guy, what's his title? Commonly known as Dom. Have you heard of this guy?
Oh, yeah. I have. Yes, I have heard of him. Are you getting him on, are you?
Yeah, well, you know what? I think we might as well turn this into a wee panel discussion, Darren. I mean, after the segment's over, we'll give you a little bit of breathing room here to talk about your personal story about how you woke up to all of this and share your kind of enlightening words of wisdom with the audience. And then segment, I think it might be a good idea to bring Dom on so that we can have a free man round table, as you will, like the Knights of King Hussein.
Sounds good. Brilliant. I remember those days with King Hussein. Weren't they good? Yeah, okay. Well, I'll tell you what happened was I got into it because of the whole language side of it, the legalese aspect, the legal fiction, the redefining of terms that people used every day to mean things completely different. And that was what got me interested because I was into the whole language stuff anyway and had been for years. So, I mean, you'll be familiar with speaking to some people about what's going on in the world in terms of enslavement of humanity or in terms of New World Order, and you'll be people saying, you know, there's no evidence for that, man. What are you talking about? There's no evidence. And you just be slapping your head going, man, where are you looking? What are you watching? You know? And but long before people knew about a lot of that, I was showing how this stuff was hidden in our language anyway, and we just weren't paying attention to what we were saying. So 7, 8, 9 years ago, I was talking about you need to think about what a man has to wear when he's going to work in your average city. And I want you to picture a man in a suit. And what do you call the part around his neck, Vinny? What's the part around a man's neck that he's wearing on a suit?
A noose. Oh, you're talking about a tie, sorry.
I am not that, but I'm coming to the tie. What do you fold over the tie?
What do you fold over?
It's the collar. Yeah, the collar. So you've got a collar around your neck. You've got cuffs around your wrist. Yeah, so at the end of the shirt, you've got cuffs. And then you wear the tie. Now, the thing is, you just need to look at those symbols of a collar, cuffs, and tie. And I'll tell you what, this is one of the things, when I talk about what's hidden in language, this is just scratching the surface. This is just the beginning. These are the easy ones that everybody can see. And you know, you just need to consider that we have our different grades of collar worker. You've got blue collar, white collar, dog collar. I don't know about in New Zealand or America, but certainly in the UK, all the police are known by their collar number, you know. And these are not accidental symbols. These are absolutely staring us in the face, and it's just a joke what's going on, that people are off looking for new things when actually it's right in front of us. All of it is. It's incredible.
Well, New Zealand's kind of like a third world in that respect. And, you know, where other people have blue collar workers and white collar workers, we've got flea collar workers.
Oh, brilliant! They're in the chain, though. They're in the hierarchy, man. That's it. They're collared like everybody else.
Well, yeah. this comes down to the symbols, if you like, of a literal slave in absolute bondage. However, the bonds are no longer a physical bond. They have been released to a representational bond, so that you find out that if you look at any human being that's walking down the street in the main city of any country, really, you will see almost exactly the same form of attire. There will be some form of enslavement about their dress sense.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that, to me, is just one of the little things that's staring us in the face. So another example that everybody's familiar with is, you know, when you're walking into a supermarket or a grocery store or something, and there's a sign above the door that we were all told means weigh in, but it actually doesn't mean weigh in at all, and we read it wrong. And that word, people normally read it as entrance, but it's not actually entrance. If you read that word properly, it is entrance. And it's only ever been entrance. And this is where I've been doing what I call the art of spelling for years. And I go on about how we spell all our words because all our words are really spells. And they are, you know, a spell is a word or a phrase of magical effect. And you just have to look at the way people treat themselves and how they change their attitudes and all the rest of it just because of a few words spoken to them to see how powerful words can be. And what I go on about is how, you know, it's like you said, the symbols no longer need to be made of cast iron anymore. That other side, you know, the ones at the top of the chain are absolutely laughing because they don't need it.
You've perfectly enslaved yourself already.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like,
not only that, but you spend your own money to decorate your shackles.
Absolutely. And you applaud people for having nicer shackles. You put them higher up. You think they're better than you or cooler than you or doing better, you know. And I find it ironic that even Bush and Blair and people like that have to wear their collar and cuffs, you know. And there's certain places you can't get into without your collar and cuffs. And those are very significant.
I was wondering, what do the ultimate oligarchs of this world wear? They don't actually wear all that stuff, do they? I mean, what are they, like barefoot hobbit type hippies, you know, on holiday down here
absolutely.
In New Zealand, under the mountain with other particularly nasty subterranean mythical creatures from modern legend, you know?
That's it. They're just nestling with their fig leaf, you know, and that's it. They're looking down. Not a lot else on, I don't think. Absolutely surreal. Really surreal. But I'll tell you what, I was doing all of that before I came across this Freeman stuff. And what I find about the good stuff about little simple language terms like that is that you can take it to people who would normally be when they're normally not seeing any evidence, you just have to say, well, look at these symbols. What are they? You know, if they were made of steel, it's not something that anybody's made up. You know, it's stuff that is staring us in the face, and all of us have just accepted it in our life. But
there's a point that I wanted to make on that note. Had a couple of people be contacting me on Skype about other patriots and truthers that I've had on the show, and basically ragging on them and that kind of stuff. And I disagree with their point of view. And instead of them accepting that I have a point of view and they have a point of view, and then presenting evidence to try and convince me otherwise, it just proceeds into this personal attack. And what I find interesting is that the personal attack kind of hurt more when they come from within movements of which you're affiliated. The full-on abuse doesn't hurt quite so much when it's coming from some brain-dead, mindless zombie slave.
No, absolutely, it's fine.
Wearing fisticuffs.
Yeah, we want mainstream rejection, but when we're rejected from the outcast, where have you got to go?
I mean, no. I mean, that's the crux of the matter right there, you know. Where's the truth going to go? I always say repeatedly that there's billions of people on this planet, and if you're not happy with the people that you're hanging out with, there's nothing to stop you from going out and finding new people.
Absolutely. It's a big place. Go out the door, start walking, keep walking. I guarantee you'll meet new people at some point.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. Absolutely.
Take the opportunity. Like, for example, every salesman that comes at my door, if I've got time, I'll invite them in. One salesman was here for 3.5 hours once, resulting in no sale.
Can I ask, what was he selling? What was he selling that he spent 3.5 hours?
Well, incidentally, for the first 2 hours of that 3.5 hours, he was actually just sitting there and listening to me have a conversation on speakerphone with my good friend John Eisen at Uncensored magazine, and we were talking about conspiracy theories and all this amazing history and all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, when you don't know about all these kind of things, but you're first hearing about them, and you hear two people laughing and going on, you know, you're saying, he actually literally just sat there smiling and nodding and listening for a good 2 hours. And then after that, he proceeded to tell me that he was from Vodafone and that he had a great deal for me. And sure enough, he had one heck of a great deal. But unfortunately, being from the telecommunications industry, I know for a fact that whenever you change your internet connection in New Zealand from one to another, you will experience quite likely days and days and days, if not my somewhat fabulous producer right now is in the middle of a internet lull because he just recently moved home. Last time he did this, 21 days without internet.
Oh, my goodness.
While this guy's telling me that this deal's really good, I'm conscious of the fact that I have a 5-day-a-week radio show that I can't do without any internet. And I know that the internet will go down that long.
Yeah.
So the object was I wasn't actually going to do anything for him anyway. So what I did is I took that deal and I called up my own phone company while he was still here. And I negotiated with them to give me all the stuff that he'd offer me for free. And never have to change anything. You play these scum off against each other. I used to work in the telecommunications field, and I can tell you the only reason why that boy stuck around for that much time is because he thought he was going to get a sale at the end of the day.
That's the only reason, absolutely.
All right. And so the only reason why I kept him around is so that I could play him off against my existing phone company, which I like, but I know that they're all the same. Okay. Yeah. A psychopath doesn't have favoritism. They don't have loyalty or anything like that. Anything above what's written in corporate policy. So you play those people off against each other, just like the New World Order plays countries off against each other, just like COINTELPRO plays conspiracy theorists off against one another.
Yeah. Everybody's at it. Why not join in?
Hey, in a world so full of madness, hey, it's pretty sane to do the crazy thing.
Absolutely. Well, this is what I like about this whole movement as well, is I really, because, you know, like we were saying, the symbols are no longer needed physically anymore because they've got people mentally. They've got them mentally, they've got them emotionally, and, you know, they're not even aware of it. And this is obviously what the whole awakening process is about. It's about people finding empowerment, finding autonomy, you know, discovering sovereignty, and even as a concept, the empowerment that has is incredible. And I really see that as a form of mental healing. You know, they're really starting to get their mind in order and starting to see that actually they're here with as much responsibility, accountability, and potential as anybody else. And it's an incredible thing to witness. I mean, people, and that's what I love about that particular movement. But it was worrying me the last couple of years because I saw it heading down a bit of a dead end street, and that was when I did a bit of digging and found some interesting stuff. So, you're familiar with the concept of the legal fiction?
Oh, yeah, the straw man argument.
Yeah, the whole straw man thing. Well, what was interesting was I was in court cases with people and I was listening to them doing the whole legal fiction, the mist as a corporation, all this sort of stuff. And I was watching the heads in the courtroom spin as these people were like, well, what is this language? It's like three men have invented a language to talk about a concept that they'd grasped, but they hadn't explained the language to the other side. But I did a bit of digging, and I discovered that the word Mr. isn't in any legal dictionary, and neither's Mrs. and neither's Miss. So because I like words, I started to dig a bit deeper, and I found out that while Mr. isn't there, the word mystery is. That's M-I-S-T-E-R-Y, or archaically, it was M-Y-S-T-E-R-Y, as in it's a mystery. And in Black's 8th edition, which I know a lot of people use, it's not the best, but it's verbatim on this. So in Black's 8th edition, you'll find mystery defined as all words, a business, a trade. Which is quite...
You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Darren Deoji. And we'll be right back after the break. We're going to be talking about a little bit more of this. And we'll be joined by commonly known as Dom. In the Schwarzenegger sense of the word. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. You can join us in the chat room there or crank on to the Vinnie Eastwood Show Facebook group. We also have a chat running in the background. Now, we've got Dom here, who's also, incidentally, a free man. And, Dom, as is customary on the Vinnie Eastwood Show, you get the chance to plug your websites and just explain to people a little bit about who you are, and we're going to then continue this conversation with Darren Deoji.
Okay, cool. Cool, yeah. Well, first thing, I don't claim to be a free man because actually looking through all the free man information and everything, it gets a lot of people into trouble, so I don't... actually claim myself to be a free man or any title. I'm just a me and doing what I do, because a lot of people do seem to label me as a free man, but I see that as another label that the system have created so they can label us off and box us off and deal with us. And if I'm not a label, how can I deal with it? But I'm just doing what I'm doing to try and be free from the system.
You've actually touched on something there that I think might be worthy of note. Have you ever heard of the Cecil Rhodes, like the Rhodes Scholars, Southern Rhodesia? It's named after this real, real rich guy named Cecil Rhodes. And when he died, he was basically one of the wealthiest men in the earth. And he drew up like 7 wills, 6 of which were secret, to operate a secret society to advance the aims of the British Empire. And he never came up with a name for it. He wanted the name to be ubiquitous, like the group or the people or something like that. So that, but later on, it turned out that this organization never had a name, so it couldn't be categorized or talked about or put into a box. Just like you've done there, Dom.
Brilliant. Yeah, it's the same with over Japan. They had a group of people that started calling themselves Wu Ming, which means no name, and everybody started like labeling themselves off as no name, and it confused the hell out system.
Have you seen that film Idiocracy?
No, I haven't. No.
Well, they have this name tagging system in the future where you just shove your arm into a thing, and it asks you your name. And he's going, oh, hold on, I'm not sure what's going on here. And the thing tattoos not sure on him, and so he's known as not sure for the rest of his life.
Well, that's funny, because the last court case that I went into, they bailed me out and released me as name unknown. So, like, in the court case, what are they going to call out? Name unknown, is anyone unknown here? It'll be like a Spartacus moment. Yeah, I'm unknown.
Yeah, but then some new ager would go, oh, but what about the unknown unknowns?
Yeah.
I suppose that the whole court system in itself has become, I don't know, somewhat of a joke. We had a guy here in New Zealand, Ike Finau, a pretty brilliant dude, and he managed to get a judge to revert his own court case. And after a while, he just kind of stopped turning up to court, and because he realised that they didn't have any legal authority to force him to go to court, so he went fishing.
Exactly right. The thing is, like, I've served notices, affidavits, everything like that, and that shot myself in the foot, really, because you're making all these claims in a courtroom. It's their game, their rules, and they will screw you over. So, like, basically, I've done a lot better going into court and basically speaking the truth and walking out, but I'd be better off if I didn't even go to court now, because no, I don't need to interact with the police in a way of getting arrested. What we've decided to do now is, because I've been through everything from challenging jurisdiction to trying to do land claims and give it back to local people, take it off corrupt governments, open it up, try and have free allotments for people so they can grow their own. And that was just seemed like a big struggle and a battle. So that's what brought me to, like, taking up what Danny's idea was of starting up a nomadic tribe and calling it the Free Man Nomadic Tribe, because then the police, as we know, do have a procedure to follow. They're just doing a job. They have no authority unless you've broken the law. So if you know how to deal with them in a respectful way, like we did the other day, they leave politely and try and do their process, which will take them ages. By then, we'll be gone and tidied up after us.
What do you reckon about that, Darren? How is the different methodologies going on? Because in my experience, what happens is a lot of people do wind up going into this kind of legal fiction, straw man argument, and just wind up getting thrown in jail because they're doing it as a test case or something like that. So many people have say that these methods work or whatever, but in my experience, there's been very, very few who have successfully argued against the courts in any way, shape, or form. To play their game is incredibly laborious, expensive, and effing boring. Yeah. It's so dull.
All of the above. I couldn't agree
more. For F's sake. Even after just like 1 hour in a courtroom. I was ready to puncture my own eyes out of my skull with my car keys just to borrow the terrible drone of the judge out of my skull places.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I mean, really... You don't ever want to be going into their venues and their establishments. What I did was, because I think what Dom's doing is brilliant, nomadic tribes, all the rest of it. These are the only ways you're going to be able to create proper jurisdictional arguments, which is the only leg you've really got. There's another one, though, which is what I've been playing with for the last year or two, which is all about, I was talking about title earlier, and I know you were saying, Dom, you don't use title, which is great, because obviously, as you'll know, that's keeping you properly in the private. But what I was playing with, and I mentioned it just before the break there, Dom, was about how all the titles we normally use, the ones the state gave us, aren't in the legal dictionaries. And actually, so Mr., Mrs., Miss... And basically, yep. Mister comes from mystery, which is a business or a trade. So people can just refer to the legal meaning of that. But Mrs. is actually missing an apostrophe. It should be Mister's, which is belonging to the business. And then Miss, if you picture a form where it's title, forename, surname, you put Miss under title, it means miss this. It's skip this. It means no title, Miss. So women never actually got title when they got the rest of the rights. But then what's interesting is there's another title we all had when we were young. You weren't subject to statute when you had it, and you were told it was because you were a minor. But I'll tell you what, you look up the title master in any legal dictionary in the world, it does not mention anything about being under 16. The key meanings are a master is always a principal, but a principal is not always a master. So you're established as a creditor. A master is a captain of a vessel. You're established as being the captain of your ship. Basically, the master is our true private title, and so what we've been doing for the last couple of years is playing with reclaiming that in court, with councils, with police, things like that. But what we found was we're still getting steamrolled as the individual, so you can get the title easily in any courtroom, anywhere else. Nobody can deny you the master title. It's yours. But because you are the principal, you are the employer in relation to public servants. But what we've found is obviously enforcing the power of that title is a bit tricky. So what I've created is a thing called the People's Public Trust. So my website, that website is peoplespublictrust.com, and it's about using a private vessel, which is the private trust, with a public name because it's a public face, but it's about expressing the trust that's been placed in public servants to have the well-being of the community as the highest priority. And by expressing that implied trust, we shift the jurisdiction out of the corporate and commercial where they can hide behind limited liability, and we drag it into trust and common law by the charges that we're using against them. So misconduct in public office, it's only a common law offence. There's no statutory equivalent. So that means we've forced the jurisdiction that way. With a breach of trust, once a trust is expressed, which is what we've got a couple of cases that we're working on just now, where we are drawing up the paperwork to proactively take public servants to chancery for breaking that trust. And, you know, we're doing it very evidence. We've done it all very properly. We've tried to mediate and tried to say, well, look, you know, really and truly, we're the employer, and so are you when you're not at work. You know, you just got to follow who pays the paycheck, and that's the principle, which is, you know, those who are using the master title, which is a full private power. And, you know, it's all about getting them to administer the nation, which is what they're meant to do, because the real way they managed to turn the tables on us was by turning us into a business. So that's where the Mr., the Mrs., and the Miss is. So by
and then when
that,
you go to court, when you go to court, this is what their game is. It's just playing a game of ownership.
Absolutely.
Who's claiming to own what? And it is a game, so therefore you're gambling. And if you're prepared to gamble stuff, you might lose your ship that you claim to own. So that is the true game of ownership. And that's why, basically, now I don't claim to own anything. And what can they take from somebody that owns nothing?
Absolutely nothing. They can't take anything off you, mate. And that is the best way to deal with it. Absolutely. This is, I mean, basically, the only reason the PPT is there, sorry, People's Public Trust, we've created it to be a buffer for people. It's to be a buffer to go in there so they don't have to, because it creates that intermediary. It diffuses the emotional tension. It diffuses all the rest of it. And it just gives a face. It's not incorporated. It's not anything like that. It's an association of private trusts and people who step in for each other and create this something to try and stay the steamroller, as it were. And obviously to try and push back in the other direction as well, because, you know, one thing that upsets me in this is that whenever people are being dragged in defensively, You know, the abuses just keep on happening. Now what's happening over here is what I've heard for the last couple of months. I don't know if you've heard anything different, Dom, but everybody's paperwork's just completely being ignored now by court managers, judges, all the rest of it. They're not even looking at it. It's just all being ignored. And it's just all in these petty venues, which we have to remember is what magistrates in low counties are. It's not a place to be discussing any of this sort of stuff. It really isn't. The only place to do it is chancery, and getting there is a pain in the backside.
And it's just getting it into court to chancery is another story in itself. It's,
That's the combination lock we're actually whittling through at the minute. We've been spending the last few weeks collectively raking through the Chancery Guide as we're drawing up the papers to actually seriously have a go again, like I say, with some public servants to be proactive, not defensive. So it looks like it could be the proper place to do things. It all looks very civil and approachable and all the rest of it. They just want your paperwork to be in order. So again, you're playing their game. You're asking them to rein in their own people, which is exactly what it is. And, you know, you have what I go on about all the time is effective interface. And I don't care. I agree with you, Dom. I'm not a free man. I think free man is a dead end street, you know. And basically, all it is a position that people adopt as they begin to awaken. You know, it's like when they try to distance themselves from the system where they're feeling angry, they're feeling upset, they've been oppressed, they're a bit peed off, you know, all that sort of stuff. And, you know, that helps them get a position to try and get some breathing space. But you can't really do anything from that position. You know, you've got to have more there. You've got to have a stronger sense of self and all the rest of it. You know, they're going up against the state, and so you've got these people going, yeah, I'm a free man, and, you know, you're not authority over me, this is by consent and all the rest of it, and you've got coppers standing there saying, well, we're the state, we're the police, we've been here for a few hundred years, and you know how we do things. And you've just got two positions being spouted at each other, and like you said, Dom, what you're learning now is, it's about an effective interface. If you can connect with the people and have an effective bridge, then that's mission accomplished, you know what I mean? That's what we're trying to do.
We had a very interesting interaction a few weeks ago for Solstice at Stonehenge. There was quite a few of us living in the woods, and it was a national trust that claimed to caretake the land and hold it in trust. Now, the guy on one of their fields, he served a lawful notice on them, claiming to be this and claiming to be that. So what the National Trust done was served legal paperwork back to him and said, OK, you're going to have to get off the ground by this time, blah, blah, blah. Now, what we've done is we spoke to the guys from the National Trust. I told them exactly what we're doing, and I said, right, I'm going to be walking across the land. Some of it will be National Trust, and what do you think about that? And they said, well, I don't think the National Trust will allow you to set up camp and do fires. And I said, well, I'm not a child, so I'm not asking your permission. I'm telling you what I'm doing, so what would your procedure be? And he said, well, we could take legal action. I said, well, you can go and take legal action if you want, but if you listen to what I'm saying, I'm telling you when we're going, and we will be gone. We will tidy up after us. And if you want to take legal action, that's going to cost the Trust thousands of pounds and a long time. We're not going to be here. Now, the guy that was in the field to serve the lawful notice got served his paperwork and had to go anyway. We were still there, talking with the Trust and dealing with it amicably, and when we wanted to leave, into another lovely set of woods just down the road. So it's just moving on, and their procedure's screwed if they can't get people to comply to their system.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It seems that, I think we've touched on something that I find is very important here. There's a lot of movements that have started and failed in a very short period of time. And I think that it is very important to share and explore all of those failures and to air them out so that people can be better informed about what not to do as well as what to do. But, bullet.
If people can learn from their experiences, then it wouldn't be a failure. If they can take away what they've learned and carry on and go forwards and onwards, then it won't be a failure at all. This is what I sort of learned from doing land claims. There's not a community established there, but I learned so much from the experience and took it on to what I'm doing now. And if I didn't do that, then I would see it all as a failure. But I see everything that I've done as a success to take me to where I am today.
Yeah. Indeed. And we'll be right back. After the break, my very special guests, commonly known as Dom and Darren DOJ, back in a moment at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Look at me, driving, and I won't stop. And it feels so good to be alive.
on top. My reach is global, my tower secure. My cause is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out a million vaccinations. I'll let them all die in exasperation. Have them all healed from the lacerations. Have them all killed by assassination. I can make anybody go to prison just because I don't like them. And I can do anything with no permission. I have it all under my command because I can guide a missile by satellite. By satellite. By satellite. And I can hit a target through a telescope, through a telescope, through a telescope. And I can end the planet in a holocaust, in a holocaust, in a holocaust, in a holocaust.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Holocaust, otherwise known as the Vinnie Eastwood Show, on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. We have a two very special guests here, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know how you'd define them. You wouldn't call them free man movement people, although they happen to be men and they happen to be free. And you wouldn't call them legal fiction straw man arguers either, because they've kind of gone beyond that. You know what? I think that whatever winds up having a lot of understanding about it is usually the understanding that is the lowest form. And a lot of people are aware of the... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying that the way I see it, I'm a non-labelist. I'm either no label or I'm everything. Without me, nothing would exist.
Yeah.
Not in my world, anyway.
Well, in some conspiracy theorists' world, Mossad wouldn't exist if I didn't.
I just wondered if you wanted to speak to any other guys from the tribe to see what their experience have been like over the past couple of weeks.
Why not? It's a freaking jeopardy on the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
Yeah. Do you want to have a go? I'll pass you on to the... He's like a real-life Jumanji. Here you go.
A real-life Jumanji, is he going to, throw rhinoceroses and extremely large, fast-growing plants at us, is he?
Hello.
Hello. Hello, how's it going, mate?
Hello.
Yes, that's nice. I just understand before we continue, it's a family show, and we're under FCC regulation, so you can't even say the word BS. Well, you know what BS means. That's what you have to say. Other than that, just explain to us whom you are and tell us your story about how you came to be part of the tribe.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I was working in an office. I was working in an office doing financial services, doing a bit of law, doing a bit of IT for about 10 years, and then I got sick of it 2 years ago. I decided to split up with my girlfriend, move out of my house, leave my job. And I did all of that, and then I went to live. And I looked at my life, and I was like, how can I live for free? And how can I live doing things that I really, really enjoyed? And I've never looked back. I've had the most amazing time. And so for 2 years, I've been doing this, learning foraging, learning how to live for free, how to enjoy myself, which is something you need to learn when you've got all the time on your hands without working. And my journey's been quite a long one. Getting up to about a couple of weeks ago, a Morris dancer. Do you guys know what Morris dancers are?
Oh, yeah, I know.
You're Scottish, so you know.
Well, yeah, it's a giveaway. Vinny may know, you may have to explain it to him.
We're basically they're English country gentlemen that dress up in white ribbons and hit sticks at each other. And there's a particular Morris dancer who is dancing around the country on his own, up and down the country. He came over and said, there's a group of nomadic people living in the woods just around the corner. This is at the solstice at Stonehenge, a few weeks back. I was like, brilliant, because that's what I've been doing on my own with friends, with other people. But I was like, yeah, that sounds like the kind of people that I want to know. So I walked in, there's a big party of loads and loads of people sitting around by the fire, living in the forest, sharing everything, having good times. And I was like, yeah, I feel like I'm home. And I've been here ever since, and I am home. We share everything, we have a great time, and life is good.
Well, we have here, in fact, I wanted to get your guys' take on this. Section 107 of the Crimes Act 1961 acknowledges the right to disobey statutes if one has a lawful excuse or a claim of right. And Section 56C of the Judicature Act 1908 acknowledges the right to disobey court orders if one has a lawful excuse or a claim of right. What is a claim of right?
Well, to me, I just want to live free. And I see that statutes are, they're only really applicable if you choose to apply to them. And so if you say, well, I don't want to apply to that, I don't agree with what you're saying, then you can just turn around and say, no, I don't agree with that. And technically the law has nothing against you. Like, they can't do anything. Now, my circumstance was I wanted to test that law, and I went down the route of getting arrested for something very, very small, for actually riding a bicycle without lights. but I stood up for myself, and I said, I'm not going to give you my name, I'm not going to do this. I'd had a couple of drinks, so I was a little bit belligerent, but in a way, I manifested that.
You were DIC'd, drunk in control of a cycle.
as well, yeah.
It's like, mate, you know, you're sitting there with your keys, you know, your lights aren't on or anything, you're driving around without your headlights on, you know, that's funny, man.
Yeah, no license plate, nothing is part of the system at all.
And here's the thing, you can't spot any of those, and an even harder thing to spot on you would have been a victim.
Yeah.
exactly. Yeah. But I became the victim, I decided to go
through
the
happens.
Court.
Police create like 80% of all crime. They just come in and frickin' criminalise you.
Yeah. This is what the Criminal Justice Act is all about. Criminal justice. People misunderstand it. It's criminal justice. Justice that is allowed to be criminal in its execution. It's criminal justice. This is they've permitted it. They've tolerated it where they don't have to follow the rules that they're trying to slap on you. And it's just an utter madness. It's complete madness.
That's true, yeah. And technically, with the criminal justice bill over in England, if we had a couple more people here, I think if we had more than 10 people around and we're playing music, then we are acting illegally. So they can legally come in and arrest everybody for that. Although I haven't really, really seen much of that. And policemen are actually real people. And if you treat them like human beings, they'll treat you like human beings. And that's what I realized, you know. Like, I turned up in court and I've learned everything about collapsing a trust. I worked in financial services, so I understand a lot about working in it, like going into a court and understanding that you have to be dead, many, many things. And I went in there and they were like, well, you're not really actually speaking anything that we understand about. They put me down as a no-show because I didn't say my name. They said that I hadn't showed up at court. There was a warrant out for my arrest and I ended up spending time in prison for 6 days. When people said that I'd been in there for riding a bike without lights, they were like, no one could really believe it. But what I realized from that, what I realized from that was that there's no point in playing the system at its own game because it's designed to look after itself.
Yeah.
And so I'm just doing exactly what I want to do, which is sitting out by the fire, enjoying myself with friends and not deliberately getting into trouble.
I'm sorry, sir, but you are a terrorist and SWAT. I must say that I have called the local constabulary and they are going to be sending black uniformed thugs to break up your little illegal bonfire right now, okay?
I didn't realise I was on the phone to spies.
we are using Skype for this call, so you can be guaranteed that it's just you, me, and the NSA listening.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully, because people will hear this and then they'll be like, "Well, why aren't I in the woods? Why am I worried about money?" And then maybe they can come and join us.
Yeah, and see, now there's a record of it. Do you want to state publicly that you're not going to commit suicide?
I can't guarantee from a health and safety point of view, the insurance wouldn't cover it.
But, you know, I suppose, you know, we do talk about, like, the most serious subjects or whatever, but if you don't keep your sense of levity in the situation, you do go freaking nuts. And we talked earlier about how some people, they'll just kind of jump to conclusions and, you know, go about things without actually researching them, without documenting them, making accusations that are completely unfounded. And the police are famous for doing this, of course. but they don't have to worry about having any evidence for their claims because they just make them up. But the other side of it is, of course, people inside the so-called anti-establishment side of the, and again, I'm using labels, and I apologise for that. But of course, we do understand that there are those who are apparently in full support of the current system, people wearing uniforms usually, and those who appear to be apparently against, and yet they all seem to be fighting amongst themselves. And I'm not 100% sure what the way to go about this is, because I've had a couple of pretty nasty conversations with people inside the truth movement. And to the listeners out there, just like with every business on the front lines, it's very, very different from what's happening up in the big corporate offices and the penthouses and stuff like that. It ain't all wine and roses and beautiful love singing ritual out there. It can get pretty freaking nasty. And conveniently, there's these inbuilt things to a lot of internet contact and social networking programs called Block. And I've been utilizing that somewhat lately, and my stress levels have never been lower.
That's exactly it. I went down the conspiracy theory route. I spent many sleepless nights looking at YouTube, learning all about the conspiracies and things, and it got me into a very dark place. It got me into a serious place, and it's a heavy thing. And yes, there's a lot of people that are being screwed over. They need to be sorted out. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Brilliant.
Wow. Oh, boy. On the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide. Because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. And speaking of friggin' nuts, my very special guests. Hey, I suppose, look, insane world. If we're nuts, then we're the same ones here. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. It's a compliment of sorts. Yes, and we have Taryn Dog, and a man known only as Jumanji. And we're going to roll the dice here again on the Vinnie Eastwood Show. I'm glad everybody's having a good time. I can't call it again. Yeah, yeah. I suppose I should be trying to add some direction, but instead I'm just providing the flamboyance and the other thing, and you guys can provide the direction. You know. I don't research. I don't read books. I'm pretty much a lackluster student at best. But other people are much better at it than I am. Who don't have radio shows and can't edit videos like I can. So what I do is I just make radio shows out of these people and do videos with them. I mean, there you go.
Everything is needed, mate. Everything is needed, absolutely.
I mean, I'm a big fan of Transformers. And if you've ever seen the second Transformers movie near the end, they've got, like, these five big Transformers that transform into this. And, you know, they all kind of slot into each other, and they all come together to form this big, massive, devastator beast. And I think that's kind of like what the truth movement should really do. Just
together, man.
And become one massive beast, man.
I absolutely love your thinking there. Absolutely. And I think that is actually naturally happening. I think there's a natural convergence taking place where you know, it doesn't matter. It's not about method, you know. Method is the madness, isn't it? And it's everybody chooses what they feel empowered by. I think the point is that people are arriving at the same sort of attitude, which I think is and the same sort of level of autonomy and live and let live and all the rest of it. And I think if we can get there with a sense of responsibility and accountability, then I think it's job done, you know. Otherwise, the world would be a much nicer place. And I think what we were saying at the break, though, is worth mentioning for the listeners, as we were talking about the creating of your own reality, and before the break, Jumanji was talking about, what a great name, you're going to be called Jumanji from now on.
We shouldn't call him Jumanji, people will accuse him of being an agent of Mossad.
Yeah, you're right. But we're talking about how people, you know, when they start to get into all this sort of so-called conspiracy stuff or whatever, then they get really hungry for it, and they're looking at more and more, they're swallowing it all up, and then they start to repeat it and all this sort of stuff. But really, you find these people saying, oh, and they're going to do this, and they're doing this, and, you know, they're going to do that. And it's all, if people are creating their own reality, then by them reaffirming that all the time and putting their thought power and voice power into it, they're kind of almost aligning with that. So they'll see a lot more of it. It'll be surrounding them. It'll start to feel more oppressive and more helpless and more powerless, when really you've got Jumanji over there as an example of how liberating it can be if you can let go of that for a while. And, you know, the freedom is right there. You know, it's just when you switch everything off and you stop listening to the TV and you stop buying the newspapers. And it's amazing how lighter life gets.
Yeah, you start living life, and it's amazing how good life can be when you start living it. And that's why when you have the media and newspapers and television, and it controls people's reality, because it controls what people think. And it's on such a deep level that we don't realize it, even though even people that want to be free and want to get out of it, they start fighting against it. And if you fight against something, you give it power. And so rather than fighting against it, just enjoy life. And
well, you know, you've actually touched on a point there that I kind of wanted to expand on. There was an article that was released called Why Everybody Needs Enemies. And particularly on the internet, if you have detractors, they wind up generating huge amounts of hits for you and huge amounts of new people that actually wind up supporting you, find out about you from the people who are trying to discredit you now. That's what open source internet has really become, which is why they're now implementing a Internet 2, which is going to be totally regulated, taxed in all forms, and they're going to shut the old web down.
Yeah, bandwidth control.
It's very 1984, and Orwell would certainly not only be rolling in his grave, he'd be spontaneously combusting at the comprehension of how terrible the police state measures are going to be in this country.
Going to be, already is.
already is, you know. It's for F's sake, President Barack H. O'Barry, or President BS for short, winds up invading frickin' Libya. And he calls it a humanitarian bombing mission.
I know. The irony of it is absolutely insane. It really is. Absolutely.
It's classic doublespeak every time you say, you know, in fact, I've started to realize that my show is kind of more of a comedy show now just because I'm telling the frickin' truth. And what's really hilarious, even funnier than my show, is the mainstream news. I'll go there and my prime sinister will come out and make a speech to the country and say, oh, well, you know, we're in terribly large amounts of debt. And so we need to borrow more money in order to make sure that our country stays sovereign.
That's so funny. Do you know, recently in the Ireland bailout, it was really interesting because they specifically used that language on the news over here. And when they were talking about the size of the bailout Ireland was going to get from the EU or whoever it was, the World Bank, I think it was World Bank, the question they were asking on BBC News was, and how much of Ireland's sovereignty have they lost? How much of their sovereignty have they given away? And I'm like, are they really talking about this openly and publicly as a kind of, you know, just telling us how it is, basically? It's crazy.
See, the way I see it, from my own background, it's back to Dom again here. Basically, with a lot of things that I've done, it's like fighting against the system, and it causes battles and conflict. Why bother fighting a corrupt system that's got control over, like, a huge percent of the population and the whole of the media and the monetary system? It's controlling everything. Why bother fighting it? Just walk away from it and be free.
Yeah.
So this is why I'm doing what I'm doing, because, like, I just see that fighting, you'll get nowhere. You'll never find peace from war. So the only way you'll find peace is by being peaceful and living free.
Yeah. I think you made a good point there, though, about the number of people that are affected by it. A lot of people talk about the whole Matrix idea in the world, and I think the most interesting character is Agent Smith, because anybody could be Agent Smith. Anybody could turn into a representative of that state. And I think that's really telling over here as well, is that, you know, people who don't understand this way of thinking or this way of living or this, you know, of moving towards being autonomous and being responsible as well with that, though, but all the great feelings it brings with it, you know, that not everybody's like that. So I know of some people who had gone through the whole Freeman process in magistrates and chose to escalate it to Crown because they felt if they were in front of a jury of their peers, they would be able to paint the human picture and, you know, equity would come forth. But, you know, it was absolutely proven to not be the case. It looked more like the jury were X Factor watching traffic cop watchers who were buzzing off these portfolios, handed them to the police and they just lapped it up and loved it all. And despite the fact the evidence was, none of it met statutory standards, it was a complete mess, everything was wrong about it, all the processes were wrong, and even though all of this was raised, they still found the guy guilty. And it was just, how did this happen, you know? And it's because of this whole Agent Smith idea. And like you said, Dom, there's so many people who are it's so immersed that you've got to choose your battles. You've got to choose what you're going to spend your time and your energy on. Our time here on this earth is so precious. And like Dom and the people he's with are realizing is, it is so precious that if you can get back into enjoying the simple pleasures, that's where real peace and satisfaction come from. It is from those simple things.
It's everyone can find their own freedom, whatever it may be, because the way absolutely. I see it, when people get their gyro and their housing benefit paid for, they see themselves as free because they don't have to do anything. They get a tiny amount of money to survive on each week, and that makes them free in their mind. They don't realise how deep the indoctrination goes, and it stems all the way back from when you register your child, and we all know that register is handing over legal title to the governing body. And then, then you have to send them to schools run by the government. You have to put them into National Health Service, which is just all about keeping kids poisoned and taking chemicals for the rest of their life. And if anything's wrong with them, they'll give them a tablet. When everything in nature is provided for us anyway, we're just not taught how to be free. We're taught how to be compliant, obedient to the system that keeps us enslaved.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There was a great book I read many years ago about assertiveness. It was called When I Say No, I Feel Guilty. And what I liked in it, though, the guy in the intro, he was training American Peace Corps in Vietnam, and they were having trouble getting things done. They were having trouble asserting themselves, so he started running these courses. But in his first, in his intro to his book, he talks about the worst thing that can happen to a species is that it becomes domesticated. That is when its children are almost born with their spirits broken, a bit like sheep and cows and things like that, where, you know, they don't really put up much of a struggle. They're just browbeaten almost from birth, seemingly. And he was talking about how humanity is within a hair's breadth of that domestication. And I think we're already seeing strong signs of it with, you know, a virtually docile, domesticated, compliant populace that's in staggering numbers in urban environments, really staggering.
Well, yeah. And another point that I kind of try to repeat on air kind of as often as possible is that during the first Great Depression in the 30s and whatnot, 10 million people in the US starved to death. That was when 90% of people lived in rural areas and grew their own food. Today, 90% of people live in cities and don't grow their own food.
Mm.
Okay? And the coming economic depression, and there was even a big news story on our news last night, that if Obama cannot raise the debt ceiling, then there will be a economic, basically a debt default or whatever, payment default, whatever frickin' terminology these Knobs! Knobs! The total knobs used! For F's sake, I don't care whether they call it TARP, quantitative easing, or some description of lovely money quilted blanket of some description. I don't care! It's all just frickin' BS! And they're trying to make everybody afraid that the whole of the economy's gonna collapse. It's so terrible. We should give all our sovereignty up to the bankers, because the bankers caused the entire problem, so they obviously know how to fix it, because I'm just that fucking retarded and stupid that I think that people who create problems can solve them.
Do you feel better, Vinny? I think that sounded like a great release there.
I think I feel worse.
It's right. Like, who do you pay your rent to? Who do you pay your mortgage to? The banks. Like, why do you need to pay money towards the banks? Like, the banks have... Oh, excuse me, I almost swore there. The banks have messed up. They failed. We bought them out. And yet we're still paying our money to them?
And what for?
Our government guaranteed all of the bad debts of the bankers in this country ridiculous amounts of money and didn't ask for a single share in them.
Yeah.
They are literally just stealing everything out from under us and telling us that it's a good thing, that if we don't do this, if we don't steal everything from you, things might be worse in the long run. It's like somebody coming up to you and saying, look, we've got to decapitate you because if we don't, you might suffer even worse, you know. You might die if we don't decapitate you.
Do you know what I think is so funny? What I keep saying to people is, okay, oh, there was this great crash and all this money went. Where was the mass burning of $50 or £50 notes? Where was the mass melting of gold and silver? It didn't happen because it wasn't real in the first place. It's all nonsense. It's complete nonsense.
Every single economic crash in the 20th century has been 100% been contrived by foreign banks, okay? They had the ability to loan people out huge amounts of money, like in derivatives trading, essentially, back in the early 1900s. And what they did in order to cause stock market crashes is take all their own personal supplies of money, secure it with solid resources like gold and silver quietly into the market. They use their media to inspire a big bank run fear and then call in everybody's debts at the same time. So not only can people no longer protect their money because all the gold and silver's gone, not only is everybody frightened and trying to get their money because of the big media hype spectacle campaign, but nobody will be able to pay it because they were all in debt by all these derivatives that they made up out of thin air to enslave everybody. And as a result, all of the stock markets and everything worldwide experienced a massive crash, and the only people with money that was worth anything were those who had all the stored gold and silver that caused the financial crisis in the first place, so they bought up the world's economy at pennies on the dollar. And every now and again, they decide that they haven't quite consolidated enough of the world's wealth into their own hands, so they stage another economic crisis to further tighten their grasp. That is the economic system, ladies and gentlemen. It's set up by a bunch of ruthless psychopaths who lie to you so they can steal from you en masse. And they get you to think about the terrible thief down the road who snatched some old lady's purse with like $8 in it or something. Guy gets 6 months. Bernie Madoff steals freaking $6 billion or whatever the hell. He gets a couple of years. You know, it just is so clear and so obvious to anybody who has a look at any fact whatsoever. But interestingly enough, people who do look at any fact whatsoever have become a shrinking minority by design.
That's the thing. There's people in the world that are... It breaks my heart. It's like, there's people in the world dying. There's people in the world losing their houses. There's people in the world not being able to eat food. Not because there's not enough food, but because there's not enough money, and the money has been taken away from people at the top. And it's like, what is happening there is that there's enough food, there's more than enough food in the world. There's not too many people in the world. There's more than enough food to feed everybody. And it's just not enough money. That's what provides the lack mentality, and we all think that we're all trying to scrabble away, trying to get food. We're not trying to get food. We're trying to get money to pay for the food. Why don't we just, like, say something different, like live a life where we could say, okay, if you're hungry, we'll give you food. You don't have to pay for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, we're all living in this kind of global surf. So why don't we act like the serfs of old and share our food and care for each other while we huddle warmly and try to stay out of the light of our very Lord and Saviour. You're listening to The Vinny Eastwood Show, and we'll be right back after this very short break.
That ain't gon' get up in your face. The facts we open, but the system fails. We got to change the way we see the problem if we're gonna fix this place. My living soul don't care about the color of your face. Unite and go respect our right to live here on the land. It's Tino Rama, Tino Tonga, we don't know the banks. The parliament does so, so where do I stand? They paying their bills off your back with heavy tax demands. Misleading our youth with alcohol, TV contraband. So kids act up and disturb our community. Uninformed public then consents to our planned absurdity. What? Replace our human rights with commercial slavery.
They print $100 and loan it to you. They charge interest on the loan but don't have the interest, so there'll never be enough money to pay off all the debt. What do you get? Crash and burn. When will my people learn? Truth, come on now, before it's too late. Hey, I've got a new law for you. Let's make charging interest illegal and I'll tear it all.
So righteous, the greedy wanna see me fail. So righteous, like Jesus chilling on some nails. Yeah, I'll fight this, die quick, never old and frail. Mono hype, spit of the classified true tale. Alzheimer's on the increase due to aluminium in the chemtrails. Heard of 1080, deliberate poisoning of the food chain. Dark is poisoning our future for what? Capital gain. 85% said no, but I got the go and it's smacking bill. Why vote for councillors when John Key can sack them? That politician's job is nothing more than bad acting. But it matters not, cause evil boss owns the media. They lie to you in the news and you eat it up. It's time to awaken, or our rights will be taken. Don't be mistaken, this is World War III. This silent weapon needs breaking. We can be the leading nation and stop them from taking our sovereignty. Forgive them not, for they know exactly what they do. We saw the terror, and we felt the love. The real reason why is when innocent die. They did it for the oil. They want to suck the earth dry. Use flesh to tyrant's greed. These are innocent children murdered. So you can keep pumping gas. Send my condolences to the family surviving in Iraq. And apologize for being party to a parliament that will condone such a deliberate act of terrorism. No longer, peeps. Wait, wait.
They put a misfit in front of your name, and the judge, he be running, running, running your game.
So, Your Honor, you may cool down. We're handy jurisdiction. Let's get the semantics on.
See, you manipulate the words, and you manipulate the truth. There's nothing they can make you do that you don't wanna do. I can tell you the day that I was born, cause I really didn't know what was going on. I don't have an address, I'm living sold in this way. I ain't going for a drop, I'm traveling with the best. I'm gonna let my people hear what I know is true. Our kids will be the slaves if we don't change what we do.
Alright peeps, we've got some information for you. Some websites for you to get online and check this stuff out, so you can be informed of what's really happening out there. Check out youbethejudge.co.nz, Team Trails over Concorda.ning.com.
Welcome back. Oh yeah, that is a great song that was sent to me by a guy down Waikato, and I've since lost his email. I haven't been able to find him to get him on the show, but if you're an anti-New World Order musician out there, and even if you're not that good, seriously, send us a song or whatever, and we'll probably play the song and even bring you on the show to talk
can
about
I add
it.
To that?
Have a couple
can
of
I
guests.
Add to that? We have got probably the most amazing new anti-New World Order musician living with us on the tribe, and you might have heard of him. I know Dion's definitely heard of him. Danny Allen. Have you heard of Danny Allen?
Yes, yes.
If you look on YouTube for Danny Allen 1984,
you'll see all the great work he's done with the police, security guards. But his music is phenomenal. He writes his own songs. He's got one up at the moment, and if you listen to the lyrics, it's about what we're all about and what we're all trying to do, find freedom. He's put it on YouTube as the Free Man Nomadic song, and it is just bloody amazing. It really is just top-notch.
I'll check it out.
If you've got him there or whatever, Dom, we could probably get him on Skype and bring him on the show later on.
Maybe, yeah, another day. He's just gone back to his teepee with his girlfriend and dog, and they've gone to bed at the moment. Because in England, it's 12:30 at the moment, allegedly, if time's real.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Right, well, that'll be good for another day. Just send us that contact info, and we'll bring him on the show and organise to do that at a later point. Now, I think that musicians in general and all types of artists have a history of getting involved in political activism. And I think that virtually every single political movement that has ever been successful has had its own musicians, its own songs, etc. And one of my goals, out of the many, many clandestine goals that I have, is to bring a lot of musicians into the forefront, because I know for a fact that there's a hell of a lot of truthers out there who love their music, but they don't actually get to hear any music that really resonates with them, you know? Like they'll still be listening to old things from Bob Dylan or whatever. There's nothing new, kind of thing. But as it turns out, there really is, and it's all over the place, and it's really made by the most talented people. Because what the internet has done is, as it's made that talented person who could previously never get a record contract, would previously never be able to perform at a bar, just do everything themselves from home. And if they're talented and work hard enough, they do start getting recognition, followings, and eventually, you know, hopefully, revenue from it, so they can support themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a guy that needs to be mentioned in that vein. Sorry?
Would you like to hear a song from Jumanji?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, go for it, Jumanji. Hit the call.
Go on.
Hey, I'm just going to make this up off the cuff, but yeah.
Might want to sit a little closer.
We don't care about conspiracy, but we care about living free, living by the fireside, enjoying a simple life. So many people, they care about the pain and suffering everywhere, but we know that if we change our reality, we can live free. We can live free.
Yeah, we can live free. Oh, yeah.
That's the sort of thing we do every day.
Yeah, well, and it's the kind of thing that you should do. Bear in mind that the origins of music and dance, a lot of it bore out of shamanistic pagan earth worship rituals that were designed to allow human beings to reattach in harmony with the earth itself on which they lived. And this is why a lot of people gather around with drummings at full moons around here in New Zealand. Even in major parks in the middle of the city here now, you'll have something like 100 people sitting around in a circle just down the road from me, right across the road from a KFC, drumming in the middle of the night to a massive rising moon.
Awesome. And, that's awesome. Brilliant.
And yeah, I suppose we all need to kind of bring a bit of music, bring a bit of laughter, and bring a bit of joy into our lives, because those are the things that you actually have to make an effort to bring into your life. The rest of the darkness, fear, brainwashing, and poison, hey, that all comes at you for free. Yeah. Because there's somebody else paying for it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I think the important thing on that, Vinny, as well, is that you made a good point there, that it comes at you, but I don't think the joy and things like that are actually that hard these days to come by. We just have to choose where we put our attention, and when we no longer put it on that, it goes away. You just get the occasional little thing that you have to deal with, but the more you're... I think, in my experience anyway, and the people that I'm with, they kind of share the experience that over time, as you align with your life path, I suppose, and become more present in who and what you are, then the contact with those kind of people reduces. You know, they're just not there as much. You know, it's just not there. It's a vibration thing, you know, that whole like attracts like. You're not attracting it anymore. You're not thinking about it. I mean, you made a really good point in the break there where we were talking about they're telling us what they're doing, you know, when we talk about the New World Order and all the rest of it. They're telling us what they're doing it, you know, and people who are in the conspiracy movement will see that as some kind of taking the mickey, but I don't think that is the case. I think it's because they can't actually do it without people thinking about it. They need the divine thought of human beings to manifest it, and they can't do it unless they get enough people to think about it. So what we have to do is get people thinking about other things. Think about the future you want. Think about love. Think about, you know, what peace means to you, but, you know, practically grounded, you know, not airy-fairy and woolly, you know. It's got to be that realness of the livingness of it, like these guys over in the woods, you know, they're foraging for their food and they're having that very intimate, sensual contact with nature that's our natural birthright, and it's fabulous, and it's like it's right outside most people's doors, but if you're in a city, then you only have to travel a while and it's right there. You know, it's not that difficult to go and let that natural therapy just do its thing, because that's all you need to do. Just spending time in nature, it'll wash it away.
This reminds me of my favourite piece of drunken advice I ever got from a student. It's a student pub in Auckland called Shadows Bar. And, you know, it's pretty good, man. $3 jugs of beer was good. But on this point, his advice to me was life is about one thing and one thing only. It's about a search for good vibes. Now, when you understand what the word vibes means, it means vibration.
Absolutely.
And recent scientific evidence has been presented that when human beings are experiencing particular emotions, i.e. love or fear, they also emit specified vibrations into their body. For example, a high-frequency vibration will be that of love, and a very low-frequency vibration will be that of fear. And you'll find that people who have a love vibration are much, much more enjoyable and happy to be around. Yeah. And those that have a fear vibration, they kind of make you feel a little uncomfortable. They may not be doing anything in particular, but you can certainly feel it. And that's the thing. You can feel the vibrations, the vibe off of people, literally, because it's scientifically there. And I choose to avoid all that uber negativity and try to keep it light and fluffy and whatnot, because I understand that there is a real big dark side, and I understand it more than most people on this world, because very few people know about this kind of stuff to begin with, so it's not saying much. But I think that if we really do want a free society of any kind, the last people that we should be attacking is our own people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I have noticed, like, basically, as a friend said to me, people that are resonating on a different frequency to others, i.e. if they're resonating more towards love frequency and there's others that are resonating in fear or anger, they clash. And that is like if you've got two stone cogs, that one's spinning at a resonance of love and the other one's spinning at a fear resonance, they're going to grind against each other instead of running smoothly with each other.
Yeah. Very true. It's a good analogy there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of truth and music as well, if you go to polygraphradio.com, all truth and music, all day, every day. It's really, really quite fabulous. And if you've got music as well, you can actually send it in, and they'll play it for you.
You have to post us the link on our website or our forum.
Yeah.
What's the website again? What's it called?
Polygraphradio.com.
Cool.
Oh, well, our website for the Nomadic Tribe is Freeman Nomadic Tribe. If you Google Freeman Nomadic Tribe, you'll find it. If not, it's freeman-nomadic-tribe.co.uk. We've also got a Facebook group called Freeman Nomadic Tribe also.
Cool.
All right, excellent. And I'm sure that there are some nice camel salesmen there in the UK to help you out with your seasonal migrations.
Do you know what? You've just reminded me, an inspector actually said to me one day when I was talking to him and explaining about how the system is constructed, and he said, if you don't like the rules, leave the country. And I quite quickly replied, how could I leave the country without following the rules? It's quite simple, you know what I mean? You've got the passport, which is allowing the slave to leave the plantation, as long as you're telling them exactly where you're going.
Yeah, that's
what we said on the show the other day, is as soon as you go to an airport in America these days, you're entering frickin' Nazi Germany. First question they ask you, papers, please!
We need your
papers. Show me your papers.
Yeah, that's incredible.
The way I see it over here is you've got the crown. Now, the crown is occupying England, and the crown is a registered corporation trading under another name. Now, they're trading under the City of London, and the City of London is half a square mile. It's a foreign country sitting inside London, and it's the banking district. So who they're truly working for is the banks. But the royal family over here are of German descent. So basically, the crown is occupying England. And if you go and have a look at the legal definition of occupy, you'll look and find out that the UN are occupying Iran and Afghanistan.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
I stand alone against your mad, deadly, worldwide, conspiratorial, gangster, computer god communism with wall-to-wall, deadly gangster protection, lifelong sworn conspirators, murder, incorporated organized crime, the police and judges, the deadly, sneak parodies, puppet gangsters, using all the gangster deadly Frankenstein controls, these hangman rope, sneak, deadly gangsters, the judges and the police, trick, trap, rob, wreck, butcher, and murder the people that keep them terrorized in gangster Frankenstein earphone radio slavery for the communist gangster government and con artist, parroting puppet gangster, playboy scum on top.
Yeah! Welcome back,
there is
ladies
no
and gentlemen.
Escape from this
part of the video show.
Freeman Nomadic Tribe of Co.UK. Just take a little peek. It'll make you feel real good. Cause we're burning wood, yeah. Poisonous trees.
Well, yeah.
Before I bring that into the intro.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Obviously, the product of some ineffective water fluoridation.
Yeah. Well, that's it. We are seriously like trying to even cut out fluoridation of the water. Sometimes we have to use local supplies, and they give us tap water, and we can't tell if it's fluoridated or not. But like we've found devices where you can buy them and fill it up with any kind of water, and you pump it a few times, and when it goes through the stones, it comes out as pure drinking water.
Well, that sounds very nice. And I'm then, sure like, the guy from what's that guy who has the TV show where he's like lost in the wild or whatever, and he has to survive? I forget what it is. Wouldn't he love one of those? You know, it'd be fantastic.
I'm not too sure what you're on about, but, like, yeah, I think, like, any group of people, if they're going to be living out free from the system or in the wild, if they had some kind of water purification system where it's totally natural, then, like, sweet, you can live free forever. Because that is what one problem is, finding good water supply. And if you're nomadic and you keep moving about, then it's going to be, like, even harder for us. So,
well, see,
thank you, corporate world, for deciding these things.
Incidentally, Libya has one of the best quality water aquifers in the known world. Mm. Or at least it did, until they started shelling it with depleted uranium. Yeah. Oh, the genocide. It's freaking hilarious.
And,
oh,
and what gets me is what they're doing with the water is incredible when it's something like, I think it's something ludicrous, like 1% of the world's water is fresh water. You know, there's 1%, and it's got to get recycled and reused, and they're pouring all this crap in it all the time, every day. It's just crazy.
Well, and not to mention, because the water is fluoridated, it was fluoridated because they couldn't dump it as toxic waste. And so under U.S. commercial code, if you sell a toxic waste product to a corporation, that toxic waste product is now no longer derived and called toxic waste. It's, in fact, just called a product. And then you can on-sell that or put it anywhere, including human water supplies. Because apparently one of the only ways that you can put fluoride into the natural environment without it toxifying it and frickin' destroying it is if it's recycled through human kidneys.
I love it. That's brilliant.
But incidentally, 90% of all the water that we have doesn't go down through our kidneys anyway. It just goes down the sink and out into the environment, polluting it regardless. And incidentally, a lot of this fluoride is sourced from the phosphate fertilizer and nuclear uranium mining businesses. So a lot of it happens to be radioactive when it's dumped in the water supply. And in New Zealand's water supply, and indeed most major metropolitan areas around the world that are fluoridated, do have radiation in detectable levels and unsafe levels in their drinking water. But that's not anywhere near as bad as Tokyo, where you've got like 14 million people living and the radiation levels of their water are thousands above normal. Apparently a few million people have already left Tokyo, but I haven't confirmed those reports. But yeah, it's a global freaking disaster, ladies and gentlemen, and water is the key to life. Filter.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, I mean, there's a wonderful film that's free online that you can watch called Flow, For Love of Water. And it's really interesting because it's talking about all the food crisis and what Monsanto are doing and things like that is actually just, that is massive and it's significant, of course, because you control seeds, you control people's access to growing. But she was talking about the water issue. And there's places in Africa now where they've been testing the first prepayment meters for water. You have to put your little card in, and if there's not credit on it, you don't get any. And, they're doing it in the one place where it's more precious than anywhere else. And you've got the CEO of this European water company going on about how these people need to realize they should pay for the water. They should. And it's like not only do you think they should, but the stuff that he gives them access to is pumped full of all this chemical crap.
Well, what do you expect when the second they get born, they've got 200 chemicals detected in the umbilical cords, and then their babysitter becomes the television, which gives them a whole lot of hypnotic suggestion while they're in a sub-state, frickin' semi-conscious, suggestible, slave mindset, brain control, mind orgasmic state. And for most of their life, a good 6 hours a day of brainwashing at home in front of the TV after your 6 hours a day of brainwashing in front of a teacher who doesn't know what the hell they're talking about.
Well, I was reading some statistical thing today that apparently said they called it the alternative census in Britain, and they canvassed 2,000 households. And of that 2,000, the average number of hours TV watched per day was 9 hours. 9 hours of TV a day. And do you want to know how many hours spent doing quality time spent together as a family? 2 hours per week.
I just thought, right, 9 hours a day, they say the recommended average or amount of sleep you need a day is 8 hours. So 8 hours sleep, straight on with the TV, keep asleep.
Absolutely wild.
Yeah, fluoridation, right? I used to work for Southern Water in England, and basically what they do is they use bacteria to eat away all the chemicals that are in the water that comes in from the sewage and everything like that. They add a load of chemicals, they break it down, they put it in silos with non-buoyancy water, they break everything down. Then when it's fresh enough to drink, they pour it back into the river. But before they put it back into the tap supply, they add more chemicals, which is one of them fluoride and chlorine and things like that. So it's quite crazy how it's drinkable and fresh and good enough for nature, so put it into the water, and then they add fluoride for the humans.
Yeah, it's absolutely wild. The old pineal gland incrustination taking place, what do you think about that, guys? Have you heard of that theory with fluoride?
It turns out that cannabis resin, in fact, decalcifies the pineal gland. I just found that out yesterday. You know how Rick Simpson has come up with the refined cannabis resin just with isopropyl alcohol and burn it off, so all you've got is the pure
the
resin.
Oil.
That decalcifies the body, including the pineal gland.
Yeah.
Now, what I will say to people, if they're going to make cannabis oil, it's not to get high, because you'll be wasting your weed. It is for pure medicinal purposes only.
That's exactly right.
We've made cannabis oil, and, yeah, you could smoke it, but it's not really going to get you high. But, like, for medicinal purposes, well, just watch Run From The Cure, as you've just said. Amazing information that's coming out these past few years about... It's the internet that's exploding, the information. They've created the internet as a tool of commerce. Then they invented broadband as a tool of commerce. But when broadband came out, I think they really messed up, because the information is flying out now.
Yeah. The only thing I'll add as a word of caution to that is to throw in the simple language again, is there's a good reason why we call it both the web and the net. And I think everybody would like to think that they were the fish and the spider, but I don't think that's the case, really. You know, I think we are actually the fish and the fly half the time.
It's great to be on the radio, but, like, I basically want to give up my phone, because I think that the way they've constructed everything is so unnatural, and absolutely everything they've created, the roads, the phones, the internet, it's all for their benefit. Now, it's not natural. If I need to speak to somebody, why would I need to speak to somebody the other side of the planet? I only need to speak to somebody the other side of the community to pass me a log or help me with this. Now, that's the way I see nature, and I can't wait for the day that I actually give up my phone, give up the internet, and actually truly living with a tribe of people, being free from the system, because...
Indeed.
Their system's nothing to do with me. I didn't create that.
Well,
I was born to play with it.
agree with what you're saying, and I don't think there's any machine that we can make that does something we are not capable of. I don't think you can have an idea to go hunting for gamma rays or go hunting for cyberspace or go hunting for these telephone wormholes into other people's worlds that we've had for so long, and these little one-eyed ones that we call the TV. I don't think we can come up with these ideas if this is not means of communication and interacting and socializing that we're actually already capable of. We're doing it the clumsy way just now. It's like you said earlier, Vinny, it's the lowest common denominator. If everybody in the world can understand what I'm saying now, if it got translated into their language, if they could understand it, then that's the lowest common denominator. That's not the high stuff. It's like any team game. It can only play as well as its worst player. Anyway.
All right. Thank you very much, guys. And Dom and Freeman Nomadic Tribe.com.
I've got it in front of me.
Yeah. And Darren DOJ, welcome. Thank you very much, guys. And thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. I hope this one's been enlightening, enjoyable, and fun to hear us ranting and whatnot. And until next time, death to the New World Order.